Hello and welcome to Module 3 of Love Yourself Well. I can't believe we're already 3 weeks into this adventure. Hope that you're finding the practices and the wisdom, but most importantly the self-reflection, really enlightening and a reminder just to enjoy the process and to try and forget about wanting to get over there and getting to the end and just really relish this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be really self-aware and really look with curiosity at all aspects of your life and start to imagine a life where those desires, those innermost desires that you have are met, and then let the unfolding happen. I'm so excited for each of you on this journey, and today we're going to cover fatigue and what causes it. We're going to talk about the different types of fatigue and some tools and tips to overcome them. Again, this is a module that's really focused on helping you to uncover what your particular fatigue might be caused by. And so there's a lot of information in here. Pick out what feels good for you and pick out the practices and tips and tools that align with your well-being vision and your values and your why. And, you know, try not to get overwhelmed by all of the information. Obviously, this module is a big one and we could talk about it for a lot. We could do a whole course on it. But this is just really an opportunity for you to inquire as to what your fatigue might be telling you. So what we're going to cover today is exactly that, how to learn what your fatigue is telling you and to tune into your body and your mind. We're going to talk a lot about the energy bank account and, you know, how to identify those energy leaks in our lives that might be below the surface and might not be the first things we think of when we think about why we're tired. And then I'm going to give you some simple tips to rediscover your energy. So we're going to talk about the physical side, so food and water, sleep, hygiene, but we're also going to talk about the mental and emotional side. And I want to cover within that boundaries, scheduling, time management, which are kind of the big three that a lot of women struggle with. And then I'll go into talk about what your weekly challenge is. And yeah, it's going to be a great one. So let's dive in. I know that you all know what fatigue feels like, and it is without a doubt the number one reason why my one-on-one clients contact me. I myself have suffered from adrenal fatigue and chronic fatigue, and so this is a topic that's really close to my heart and something that quickly learned, but I didn't because it took me a long time to understand was just how important the emotional and mental side of well-being are, particularly as they relate to fatigue. So we all know, you know, to eat less sugar and to drink less caffeine and, you know, to eat more vegetables and drink more water and to sleep more. We all know those things. Now, whether we do them or not is a different story. And over the coming weeks, we're going to dive right into the resistance that you might feel to doing those practices and uncover why. But for now, you know, I think it's just worth noting that although we focus a lot on the physical manifestations of fatigue and how to get rid of those symptoms, we less often dive underneath the surface and really tackle the root cause of fatigue, which, as I'll go through in a minute, there's some really surprising ones that might resonate with you. So on the physical side, this is really important to note that I'm not a doctor, and I really encourage you to find either a functional medicine specialist, a naturopath, a GP or a physician that you feel really connected and confident with to go through and tackle with you any physical causes of fatigue that are still lingering around even after you've made lifestyle changes. And that type of chronic fatigue, because while, you know, a lot of lifestyle practices can help, sometimes there are underlying imbalances caused by kind of ongoing stress or, you know, autoimmune diseases or other things going on that it's just worth getting checked out. So on the physical side, you know, fatigue can be caused by the poor intake of nutrients and also the poor absorption of nutrients. So often we can be eating a really healthy diet, but whether we're absorbing all of those nutrients and whether our cells are using them correctly, or our cells are converting them correctly, they're really big factors in fatigue. And we now know there's a lot of research being done on the mitochondria within cells and their role in energy production and how stress can actually affect our cells' ability to give us energy, in a simplistic term. So obviously the lack of sleep is the number one cause of fatigue that we often think, I'm so exhausted, there must be something else going on. And without realizing just how, you know, some people don't believe in the sleep debt. I absolutely do. You know, having survived, my daughter's just turned one, I absolutely believe in the sleep debt and how it can accumulate over time. Stress is obviously a massive one. And going back to module one, we know that we get stuck in that chronic cycle of where we're so stressed that we're exhausted, but because we're so stressed, we can't fall asleep. And we're going to talk about sleep hygiene today as well. Dehydration is a really simple one to rectify. Don't realize, particularly in winter, how dehydrated we get. And, you know, according to Ayurveda, which is the sister science of yoga, depending on your constitution, you know, different seasons are going to affect you differently. So if you're the Vata type, which is what my body type is, which is kind of, there's a lot of air in our systems and we're prone to kind of dryness and coldness, we can get really dehydrated in winter. Whereas if you're a Pitta type, which is the fire kind of element, you might find you get more dehydrated in summer. And so just knowing your constitution, I'll post in the Facebook group some links this week around Ayurveda if you're interested to learn more about that. But just knowing yourself really well is just the cornerstone of tackling fatigue and all of our well-being issues. There's a hormonal imbalances caused by stress, but also other hormonal imbalances going on that can cause fatigue, thyroid issues, obviously. And then harmful bacteria. So increasingly we're learning the importance of a healthy gut for our ability to sleep and our cortisol cycles. And so, you know, working with a great practitioner around restoring your gut balance, or there's loads of amazing e-courses and information on the web these days, can really help fatigue as well. A lack of oxygen I put there because, again, going back to week one, deep breathing, such an important factor. Like, I think so often the little quick fixes we're looking for in terms of, you know, that 3 o'clock slump can be rectified by just taking some really deep breaths, getting more oxygen into the system. We're not designed to sit stagnating at a desk all day for 8 hours a day. So moving the body, getting oxygen flowing through can just make a drastic impact. And I think so often we fall into the trap of saying, I'm tired and so I can't exercise today. You know, I'm sitting here and I totally used the excuse this morning of it's a bit wet and rainy and I don't really want to walk the dog. So I drove him to a park and threw the ball, but I've missed my opportunity to move for the day. And so I'm hoping to rectify that later. And I feel it. I feel tired. Sleep is really improved by gentle movement daily. And I think that sometimes we need to use a little bit of our willpower or find our intrinsic motivation to get moving to start to restore our ability to sleep and improve our overall energy. Caffeine and sugar, you know, we all know it, can over time cause chronic fatigue and just general fatigue, tiredness on a day-to-day basis. I think our environment increasingly we're learning has a massive impact on fatigue, not only pollutants, so, you know, Wi-Fi and but also, you know, air pollution, but also the, you know, the way our environment is lit. So we're often sleeping with things in our room. And I always say, you know, the first step to me addressing adrenal fatigue was getting my sleep cycles right. And to do that, I had to have complete darkness. And not only did I have to have that at night when I was sleeping, but during the day, I found 20 minutes each day to lie down flat, meditate. So lying down flat takes the strain off the adrenals. and meditating with an eye mask on, because darkness just helps to reset our body's natural rhythms and, you know, helps us with melanin and serotonin, really important hormones for well-being. So, yeah, just checking our environment. And I also say that about clutter, because you know that when you come home and your house is a total mess and there's stuff everywhere, that it makes you feel drained and tired. And so I'm really pleased that we're beginning to understand the relationship between clutter, or conversely, the relationship between simplicity and well-being. And, you know, without encouraging you to go all out this week and declutter, it's becoming aware of what environments make you feel energized and which ones don't. And the last cause of physical fatigue is too much screen time. And we know that the blue light and the backlit of our smartphones and of our computers affects the amygdala in the brain, affects our ability to produce sleep hormones. And, you know, we know that just that feeling of being wired can take a long time to wind down. So they're just some causes. I know you have your own as well. I know you know deep down the cause of your fatigue. And I guess this whole module is about helping you learn what that is. Okay, so how do we start to address physical fatigue? So I always say that our aim is to promote the cell's optimal functioning. So our bodies are designed to produce energy automatically through complex chemical systems. And we really, our job is to assist our cells to do that to the best of their ability. And so by doing that, we require nutrient-dense food. So we really need food that has a lot of vitamins and minerals, micronutrients, and we need a balance of the macronutrients as well, which is, you know, fats, carbohydrates, and protein. We need all three. And I always say, you know, in my nutrition studies, what I found the most helpful was to cut through all the bullshit, was to just say, every meal, try and get some fats, some carbohydrates, and protein. And every meal, try and get as many micronutrients, minerals, and vitamins onto the plate as possible. And the most densely nutritious food is always going to be vegetables. Vegetables from across the rainbow. So we want as many different colored vegetables on the plate as possible. And it's as simple as that. So crowding out our meals with vegetables, but also particularly for women, ensuring that there's protein, and then a good quality olive oil or coconut oil, or maybe black sesame oil, is, or some nuts. That's a complete meal that's going to just allow our cells to really thrive. We're making all of that nutrition bioavailable to our cells to use quickly, and to give us that energy without too much processing, without too much work, I guess, on our digestive system. So obviously reducing our caffeine and sugar intake can have drastic effects on our energy as well, noting that, of course, when we start to cut those out, there'll be a slump in energy as our body readjusts to not relying on those stimulants. And I also say alcohol is really burdensome on the liver and on the whole body, so it's really helpful to cut down on that as well. What else do our cells need? So if you think about cells of a plant, you know, they need sunlight, they need water, and they need kind of soil. They need nutrient-dense soil. And we're pretty much the same. We need water, we need nutrient-dense food, and we also need sunlight and movement. And they're just the simple building blocks of life. And you can cut down all of this advice and all of this information out there and just focus on hydration, vegetables, and gentle movement. You'll see drastic, drastic changes in your energy levels. Obviously, as I said before, working with a practitioner to focus on fixing any nutritional deficiencies, so vitamin deficiencies, particularly vitamin D and iron, or focusing on gut health to improve the absorption of those nutrients can really help, as well as working on your hormonal health. So working particularly maybe with a Chinese medicine practitioner, or again with a doctor, GP, or specialist, to just ensure that everything is working at its optimal level. And then sleep, you know, sleep hygiene, we all know it. And this has been really brought home to me this year, I guess, having a baby daughter, just to see how much she relies on me to give her the cues that it's time to sleep, and the fact that she needs a wind down routine before she goes to sleep. We're very similar. We don't just climb into bed and fall straight asleep unless we're really physically exhausted. We need cues to give ourselves to start to wind down, and that's switching off our phones, making a cup of herbal tea, chamomile's really calming, putting on our eye mask. And, you know, I really recommend an eye mask to start to improve your overall sleep to start with. Over time, you can transition to sleeping without it. But it's, you know, if you're really struggling with fatigue, I really recommend that as a first step. And getting some sleep before midnight, so moving your bedtime earlier. Just simple things. These are all free things that we can do. And again, I don't want you to go out and fix all of these things and completely overhaul your diet and cut out caffeine and drink 12 glasses of water a day and move every day and go to the doctor and improve your sleep hygiene. I want you to think about which one of these really aligns with your what you know is the cause of your fatigue and what you know would help. And which ones of these are kind of little tweaks that you can easily introduce and start to habitualize. Okay, let's go back to some causes of fatigue on the mental and emotional scale that I think it's really important to address as well. Obviously, stress, the way that we perceive our environment, the way that our brains are wired to respond to stress from conditioning and beliefs is a massive one. Anxiety is in a similar category, so just that ruminating worry, the fear of having embarrassed ourselves, that focusing on the past or the future. Anxiety can be a big cause of fatigue, simply because if you think about our brain as a battery, you know, it needs time to recharge, and when we're constantly ruminating, it's exhausting. And the brain uses so much energy in the body. Like, we just really underappreciate how many calories our brain takes to function properly, how much sleep it needs. It really needs to be cared for much in the same way as the rest of our body. And anxiety and ruminating thoughts, as well as the way that we perceive stress, can be kind of the massive causes of mental fatigue, which then obviously manifests as physical fatigue as well. Negative thinking, so focusing on, you know, all the negative things in our lives, as opposed to focusing on gratitude and being able to see the good things, that can be really draining for obvious reasons. Limiting beliefs, so these beliefs around, you know, not being good enough, not being competent enough, not doing enough, constantly judging our actions. Going back to the anxiety and rumination, obviously that's going to take up a lot of mental energy and space, causing emotional discomfort. And, you know, so much energy goes into trying to protect ourselves from feeling bad emotions. And next week when we talk about mindfulness, or sorry, the week after the break, when we talk about mindfulness, we're going to really challenge this idea that we should focus all our effort on never feeling bad feelings. Because in fact, feelings come and go, just as thoughts come and go. And while we can have a positive impact on them and we can start to change them over time, we have to realize that life is balance, and we're going to experience really high positive emotions, and we're also going to experience negative emotions. And we spend a lot of time trying to soothe ourselves from those bad emotions, which might be as a result of our conditioning or our wounding from childhood. And so we spend all of our energy trying to soothe that with, so for example, food or negative thinking or criticism or alcohol or whatever our soothing tools might be, when in actual fact we could just sit with them for a while, use less energy doing so, and avoid the guilt cycle that comes from indulging in those soothing behaviors which might be negative. We're going to go a lot more into wounds and their relationship to our well-being in the coming weeks. But I guess just to be aware from a fatigue point of view, how much time and energy you're spending tending to those wounds and I guess spending energy on activities to cover up bad feelings instead of just learning to sit with those bad feelings. Overscheduling, massive cause of fatigue among women, comes back to the limiting belief I need to do more and not enough as I am. Working too much, just too many hours where our brains are just not designed to be on. And I'm going to add in there multitasking, because multitasking, you know, is not any more efficient or effective. In fact, it's far less so. That we know research is coming out saying that multitasking does not serve us. Doing one thing at once and doing it really well is so satisfying, and I'm really advocating bringing the art of single tasking back into our lives. Being a natural introvert and being in an extroverted environment can be a massive cause of fatigue. So again, it's about knowing yourself really well and honoring yourself. Wearing a mask, and I'm going to go into that in a minute, but it's basically that idea that we spend a lot of energy projecting a certain image of who we want people to think we are based on our ego, and it's not really who we truly are. In fact, we're very vulnerable beings, and we're very, you know, we experience a whole range of emotions, and we're a lot of different things. And so constantly projecting one image, you know, you go into work and you're the good girl that gets stuff done and you never let anyone down. And, you know, that's a mask. It might be part of you, but it's not you all the time. And that mask is exhausting to put on every day. Again, I think a lot of cause of fatigue is the fact that we do a lot of things. We do a lot of things generally, but a lot of those things we're doing out of fear, or we're doing it for extrinsic reward. We're looking for someone to give us a gold star, and therefore we push ourselves really hard because the gold stars are never forthcoming. And part of this work, part of well-being, is learning to give ourselves that reward ourselves, and to learn to act from that intrinsic motivation point of what really lights us up. A massive cause of fatigue is a lack of boundaries, a lack of being able to say no, and relationship drama. We simply put up with a lot of shit in relationships, and you and I both know it's incredibly draining. And another cause of fatigue, similar to negative thinking, I think is really playing that victim, which is the idea that life's happening to us and I'm not in control. All the bad things always happen to me. And the victim is a great, it's a great place to be in some ways. And it's really important. I'm not saying we should never play the victim, because genuinely sometimes we are hurt. And I think it's important to feel that hurt and to express that, hey, that's not okay, to someone. But when we get stuck there and when we start to play that role all the time, we actually feel incredibly disempowered. And it's really, really limiting. And so it can be really exhausting as well to be constantly having to play the victim in our lives. So, I mean, that's a big list. Obviously, there's a lot going on in with fatigue, more than just, you know, I'm not eating my vegetables every day. And I want you to not have any guilt or, you know, this is compassionate inquiry. So having gone through that list, you're thinking, oh my God, I'm like totally broken. I'm all of those things. And, you know, we're just examining, we're just bringing awareness. You're doing a great job just as you are. And it's all stuff that can be worked on over time. So again, it's just getting clarity on what your particular patterns are, so we know how to address them. And this is feeding into our values work and our roadmap work that we did last week. So how do we address some of these causes of mental and emotional fatigue? Well, I want to say that first of all, you know, and I said it during the stress module, that time out and space is really, 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 really important. We simply need to do less. And I know that we all have resistance to that. But again, I hope that through this process, you're beginning to see how important it is to take time out to care for yourself, to take time out to do work like this, to take time out simply to be and to breathe and to listen. It's the cornerstone of well-being, particularly important for energy levels. Self-awareness and self-inquiry, by simply being aware of some of the patterns causing your fatigue, you can start to bring fresh eyes and create change. And we've talked about that a little bit already. Boundaries, so boundaries around work, around relationships, around caregiving responsibilities, boundaries on yourself around how much screen time you're going to have, around what time you're going to go to bed. Boundaries are really important, you know, and the more boundaries we put in place, healthy boundaries, you know, there's a difference between being standoffish and aggressive, which is a way of protecting our wounding. We don't want anyone to get close to us, so we push everyone away. There's a difference between that, which is a sign of you're on the offensive, and to healthy boundaries, which is, you know, being able to stand in your own space, seeing, you know, with your heart wide open, but saying, hey, that's not going to serve me today. That's not going to serve my body, mind and soul today. And doing that from a place of kind of a wholeness and that intrinsic motivation, as opposed to I'm not going to let you close to me because I'm worried you're going to wound me. There's a really big difference there. Getting clear on what's important. It's the simplest way we can begin to slow down and I guess start to get more energy is by getting clear on what's important. And we'll talk about time management and prioritizing them. Addressing those deep childhood wounds through therapy, counseling, psychiatry, whatever modality feels good for you. We can, you know, particularly as a parent, but I say for any woman, really doing some work on your inner child, and we'll talk a little bit about it in the coming weeks, is going to really help you in the long term address some of those negative thinking patterns and also some of those limiting beliefs. And then mindfulness meditation, so really aiming to, similar to time out, creating space in the mind, you know. You know that feeling when your mind, when you go on holiday and it kind of takes a week for your body to crash and whatever, and then the second week, all of this creativity comes flooding back. And creativity doesn't live in a stressed out, full, ruminating mind. The two do not, they are incompatible. And so if you're worried about your creativity and, you know, you're just having no space to let things spontaneously arise, it's because your mind is too full. And it's like if you think about a computer, all the tabs open on the computer, right? We need to close some of those tabs down because it's exhausting having them all open at the same time. The whole system begins to run slow. I want to talk about six surprising causes of fatigue, and these are based on patterns that I've seen within my one-on-one clients. It's based on my own experience. It's based on a lot of reading and research into fatigue, and these are the underlying things. Number one, the I'm not good enough belief, which we've talked about a lot. It manifests in doing too much. It manifests in not wanting to let people down. It manifests in over caregiving and being the martyr. It manifests as playing the victim. It manifests as too anxiety and depression, too many tabs open in the brain. And all of those things, you can see the direct correlation with fatigue. So that's why a lot of this course is focused on addressing that belief through gentle compassion, self-inquiry, and then building confidence through the little changes that we're making along the way as well. I talked about it before, but another surprising cause of fatigue is that disconnect between who you are on the inside and the life you're living on the outside. If there's a massive discrepancy between who you are at a soul level and what your life looks like, it will manifest as fatigue. And I always say, I read this beautiful article once that talked about chronic fatigue being the mutiny of the soul, where the soul is saying, you're not listening to me, I'm going to shut this ship down until you do. And although it's quite drastic and you might not, that not, might not resonate with you, it certainly does with me. You know, when I was working in a job that I thought overseas, in a job that I thought was kind of the pinnacle of my career and what I'd worked so hard for and what I'd done 2 master's degrees to get to, and then that massive stress and then adrenal fatigue, a total bodily breakdown, that was a deep calling from within to say, this is not serving you, this is not, something needs to change. What I now know is it wasn't just what I was doing that was the critical thing, it was how I was doing it. And the fact that I was doing most of the action in my life based on a deep-seated fear. And I was coming very much from wanting to be extrinsically rewarded as opposed to doing things that really lit me up. And so that's a big cause of fatigue that I think a lot of women grapple with. And it's an identity thing. And, you know, part of this process is really relearning, I guess, now who you are, and it might be different from who you were in your 20s or who you thought you were in your 20s and your teens and you even as a child. A lack of creative expression is the third surprising cause of fatigue. So as humans, and particularly as women, because creativity is an expression of the feminine, we need an outlet for creativity, and we are all creative. I don't buy this idea that some people's purpose is to be creative, you know, in terms of being artists or whatever, but we are all creative beings, and you know, forming your life is the biggest creative expression we have. And a lack of expression, creative expression in our lives, or a stifling of that, can lead to huge fatigue. Number 4, self-criticism, self-judgment, the inner voice, whatever you want to call her, that woman that is constantly on your shoulder telling you that you're doing things wrong, that's exhausting. It's totally exhausting. So over the next few weeks, becoming aware of what she says, how she says it, what language she uses, and when she comes to talk to you is really going to help when we come to the mindfulness and soul work that we do later. Big cause of fatigue is being disconnected from the natural world. So as women, again, we need to be connected, grounded with the natural world. And nature is a beautiful tool that we can use in our well-being. I really encourage you, whether you think you're an outdoors person or not, just having a pot plant in the house, you know, and tending to it, or just putting your feet in the grass at the park. These things can be really regularly, you know, it's not just about doing it once and then saying, why hasn't my energy come back? Regular engagement with the natural world and natural light, you know, first thing in the morning, if you wake up when you're really groggy, open the curtains straight away, and just that natural light kicks our circadian rhythm into motion and says, okay, body, now it's time to get up. And then 6, clutter, which I've already talked about. There is some amazing resources on clutter. I wish I could do a whole course on clutter and the relationship between clutter and well-being. It's a massive thing. And, you know, you can read Marie Kondo's work. You can look at the zero waste movement. There's lots of different pathways you can take to simplifying your life. When we are less focused on maintaining, buying and storing stuff, we can free up an inordinate amount of time, space and energy as well. Okay, so we need a 3-step plan to how to get more energy. And this is what it looks like. Number 1, enable the cells to do their job through self-care. So that's the physical stuff. That's the diet. That's the movement. That's the sleep hygiene. And that's the water and the nature. Number 2, we need to create space in the mind. And that's self-love. And that's our mindfulness tools. That's our deep breathing. That's, you know, turning off our screens. That's doing less at work. That's really loving our mind as much as we love our body and understanding that it needs downtime too. And then the last one is we need to work on those limiting beliefs, which are causing us to do too much for too many people. And that is the realm of self-compassion. Now, not all of these things are going to be done in that order, and not all of these things are going to be done this week. I can guarantee you that this week is just about bringing awareness. we're building on, you know, each module, we're building on to create a picture of where your work is right now. And we're focusing on taking small actions, small habits, rather than wanting to change everything at once. So from that, we're going to build confidence to take on bigger and bigger projects, to gradually align our lives to our inner source of well-being. Okay, so it's time to take stock. What do you know is causing fatigue in your life? Based on all of that stuff that we just talked about, what do you know is causing fatigue in your life? I want to give you a framework to think about holistically your energy levels. So think about an energy bank account, and your total sum of energy equals energy in minus energy out. Now we can tune into our bodies, which are always giving us feedback, to guide us on what people, places and activities fill up our bank account and what people, places and activities take it away. So when you feel, you know, when you've been somewhere and you feel really expansive and energized and happy and thrilled afterwards, now those things are filling up your energetic cup. So think about some things that you know in your life or maybe in a previous life that really felt great and made you feel really expansive and energized. And they could be people, places, or activities. Okay, and now I want you to think of places, people, or activities that make you feel really constricted in the chest. You know, you feel really closed off, defensive, drained, unhappy, negative. They're the adjectives. And they're the things that are taking energy out. There's a worksheet this week that is going to help you examine what proportion, just in general, get an idea of your energy bank account. So how much time are you spending on activities, people and places that are taking energy out, and how much time are you spending on people, places and activities that are energizing you. And it's about tuning into our body's feedback. You know, when you come away from having coffee with someone, you feel like, oh my God, so drained, because you're a real giver and they're a taker. Paying attention to that. And it's not to say that you need to cut that person off. It's to say, well, to see that person, I need to have something in my energy bank account. And, you know, I need to find a way to be motivated to do that that's not just out of obligation. Healthy boundaries, my love, healthy boundaries. Okay, so here is the weekly challenge, which is to identify your energy leaks based on using that framework that I just discussed. So there's a worksheet, and on the plus side, you can see, write down all the people, places, activities that give you energy. And on the minus side, what are all the things, people, places, activities that take your energy away? And you can be really specific. For example, if doing emails for an hour gives you energy, then write an hour. But if doing emails for 3 hours drains your energy, then just be really specific in terms of the time frames. And also the environments that you find yourself in. And we're just bringing awareness here. So don't worry too much about changing everything all at once this week. We're just seeing, what does your energy bank account look like? And why does it look like that? And what are the big whackers? You know, what are the big energy leaks in your life? Is it in relationships? Is it work? Is it overgiving in your caregiving responsibilities? Is it just spending a buttload of time doing unimportant life admin tasks? And so at the end of that, you might have an idea about what your most energized day would look like. So just think about it now. What would your most energized day look like from the start when you wake up in the morning to when you go to bed? What would it look like? And whatever comes to mind, that's a good clue in terms of where to start thinking about tackling your fatigue. Okay, I want to finish by talking about something that I get asked a lot. And people come to me and they say, Meg, I tell you what I need. I think I've worked out what I need. I need to get better at time management. And I take a big, loving, deep breath in and I say, I wholeheartedly, passionately disagree with what you're saying, because I've seen a lot of women busting their butts to get better at time management, and they think it's a skill. and they think they need to focus all their time and resources on finding ways to better manage their time or to find more time. And they always feel in this scarcity mindset of there's never enough time, I'm always rushing. And I call bullshit on that because I know for a fact it's not about getting better at time management. It's about getting strong enough to let go of the things that are not serving us. It's about knowing yourself and honoring yourself so deeply that you know what is important in your life and what is not. And when times get stressful, you can look back at your roadmap and you say, but this is what's important to me. At the end of my days, this is what is important. And faffing around doing unimportant tasks for most of my week is not only inefficient, it's taking me away from the things that light me up. And I know that I have caregiving responsibilities, but if I am depressed, exhausted, I am not setting any example for those people around me that love me and that I love. So it's not about finding more time. It's about managing your time by prioritizing what's important, letting go of or batching less important things. And those two things in themselves will give you more energy because more space in your life means more energy. Not only just, you know, in terms of having spaciousness is energizing, but also you'll have more time to do the things which energize you in the first place. And it comes back to this idea that I think we spend a lot of time doing busy work because we are uncomfortable sitting with uncomfortable, can I say uncomfortable one more time? We're uncomfortable sitting with yucky feelings. We're uncomfortable being mindful. And we create crazy busy lives because we're just running away from feeling deep feelings that might be coming up, you know, which are sending us signals that we should be listening to, but instead we're too busy scrolling on Facebook while sitting on the toilet. On the toilet. Can't even sit with a feeling on the toilet. So we need to come back to the question, why are you doing this? Looking at all those activities you might have listed this week in your energy balance worksheet and saying, why do I do that? What is that? Is that fear? Is it obligation? Is it because I'm uncomfortable sitting with feelings? Because I know, and I know this down to my core, that we always do find time for the things that are most important to us. Unfortunately, we've convinced ourselves that the things that are most important to us revolve around productivity, because we don't feel like we're enough. It revolves around proving ourselves, also revolves around keeping ourselves distracted from feeling feelings. But underneath all of that, we always make time for things that are most important. And I'll give you an example that if tomorrow someone said, I'll pay you $1 million to do that thing that's been sitting on the bottom of your list, to-do list for a week, you would find time to do it. So letting go of things is really important. Finding intrinsic motivation based on your values. If there are things that you absolutely need to do that you're not doing, you need to reframe them so that you can be positively motivated to do them. You need to find a relationship between those tasks and your intrinsic motivators. And making that relationship will really support your growth and development. So that's a lot on why you don't need to get better at time management. But it goes back to your values, goes back to your why, goes back to your roadmap. Have a think about what's really important and have a think about how much time you actually do spend scrolling on Facebook or soothing your wounds and how much that time could be spent with blank space. You know, it's a classic example of mums always say to me, I just really want time alone. And then they get time alone. They spend the whole time like texting people, scrolling on Facebook. We're very scared of space. We need to learn how to use space, that precious resource, really productively to get into that rest and digest state and to fill our creative, energetic cups. Okay, so a big one around this is working on the scarcity mindset. Because I can guarantee that you, if you think there's not enough time, you also have a belief that you are not enough. There is not enough money. There is not enough reward. There is not enough. Everything is not enough. It's a common theme. And it's just a conditioning from childhood, from the way that you were parented, which is not a blame thing because it's intergenerational. So the way that our parents parented us was based on the wounds that they inherited from their family and their family and their, and so it goes back. So just understanding where that scarcity mindset pops up and knowing how much it's driving your action and therefore your fatigue can be a really big game changer. Okay, so your weekly challenge is to complete your energy leaks or energy balance worksheet and just notice where you're giving out too much energy. In addition to doing that, bringing awareness challenge, I want you to choose one, and I say again, one habit to implement over the next 2 weeks to improve your energy. So we're talking about a habit here, a behavior. And if you've already got something in your goals that we set last week, use that one. But if there's something additional that you just thought, oh, I could just make that tiny tweak, like adding more vegetables at dinner, or saying no a bit more, or leaving work at 5, or drinking some more water, or having a cup of chamomile tea and reading a book before sleep instead of scrolling on your phone. Just choose one habit to implement over the next couple of weeks and see how you go. The weekly practice this week is a meditation. That's a resource there for you to use on prioritization. So every time you start to feel a bit frantic in terms of, oh my God, I don't know what needs to be done, listen to that. And it'll really help you get clarity on what's important and why. Awesome. Next week is an implementation week. So it's an opportunity for you to kind of go back and go through all your notes and re-listen to anything that you need to embody a little bit more and to practice just bringing awareness to all the aspects of your life that we've already covered. I hope that you have a great week. And sending you love. Speak to you next time. Bye.